Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. Well, I'm a road.
The Big Dog and Pony Show in D.C. went well for everyone concerned. Except, of course, for the people that were brutally murdered in the streets of Benghazi. I don't know about you, but to me it looked like they were all planning on going out to dinner and drinks after the cameras were turned off. In other words, don't expect it to change or Hillary to be held accountable ever. Hey, Donald Trump is in South Florida today. Which is not too shocking because he's got a golf resort down there, which I don't know why that was big news. But tomorrow he'll be in Jacksonville, and the talking heads are already foretelling his demise by January 2016 due to Hillary's triumph yesterday in front of Congress. Excuse me if I'm not ready for the coronation yet. And in other news, Paul Ryan is the apparent new speaker, if all of his conditions are met. Speaking of which, I will no longer appear here on this show as a guest unless, of course, I'm provided with candy, cakes, and all kinds of other neat things that us diabetics crave so much. Here's a man that loves being here every day, no matter what the situation. Let me throw it over to your host, Mr. Christopher Hart.
I reckon we're going to have to come up with some candy, cakes, and nuts so we can keep you around here, fella.
I tell you, you know, that's my demands, darn it. I'm not going to do it otherwise. I'm going to take my ball and go home and cry.
All right, well.
What a mess.
I tell you what, stop your feet and hold your breath. All right, folks, don't stop your feet or hold your breaths. Just sit back and relax and take in the next 2 hours of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right. That is Dr. Ken V. Heck. I am Christopher Hart, and we are coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399 and ask him about his book, Mercury Free. All right, yeah, we got a big show lined up for you today. It's Friday, so we're going to try to have a little fun on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've had a heck of a week. If you might, have a heck of a couple of weeks, so we're going to try to send you into the evening, fall, autumn evening weekend with a smile on your face. All right. B. Brian Blair is going to join us in the next hour. We got a special guest going to drop in, going to give us a review on the Woodlawn movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a high school football team in Alabama, I think, or somewhere in the South. He'll fill us in.
Okay.
Where there was a lot of racial tension and everything going on, kind of like.
Okay.
Today.
Gee, you think?
Yeah.
Well, so it hasn't changed much.
Okay. This high school football team, and evidently this one particular player, and I don't want to tell you too much, was able to pull the team together. And John Voight's in it.
Okay.
He plays Bear Bryant.
I like John.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the story now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's our special guest is going to give us a movie review. Mary Lee of Vacation Travel Planners has promised to stop by sometime this evening.
She's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, she is. She's going to fill us in on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise, which if they're not all gone, I mean on the whole ship.
Yeah, the ship is usually
they're very
sold
close.
Out.
Yeah. So she'll fill us in on that. And, of course, she's got some other great things. She can fill in whatever. You tell her where you want to go, and she'll get you there.
Well, that's the exact cruise that Dr. Bernadette and I took in September when we went out with
the veterans.
And I got to tell you, the ship is nice. It's always clean. The food was fantastic. And I got to hang out with the executive chef for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He took really good care of us. So and hopefully we can look forward to that when we go out there as well. It's going to be fun.
Reminds me of when I was over at ninth grade, Howard Junior High School, way back when. Me and my buddy made sure they had a ninth grade cafeteria. Okay. So we didn't have to mess with the 7th or 8th graders.
Oh, okay, yes, because you guys were so much better than
This is back before middle school when you had junior high, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And we made sure we made friends with the ladies who were the cooks and the servers.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, every time we come through the line, you want a little more? How about a little more?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And that was back when, of course, you didn't have any of this Obama nonsense, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they
cooked. They actually cooked for you.
The rolls and the butter that we would put on them. Oh,
yeah?
My God. They'd run them into jail today if they were to serve those meals.
We had when I was going to school and all through grade school, we had this one lady who was in charge of our kitchen, and her name was Sophie.
Yeah.
And you know, she ran the kitchen. I think she was as old as the school was.
Yeah.
You know, but she always made sure they put out great meals. And it was just, you know, if you needed something extra on your plate, you just kind of winked at her and said, can I get a little bit more? And then, you know, you get like two more slopfuls on your plate. And it was awesome.
Those
were the days. We don't have those. Now you have to get that little ration card and go to the ice cream machine and other stuff. You know, it's just a mess.
All right. Indeed it is.
That's progress, though.
Talking about a mess. That was a mess yesterday, but it may not have been a total waste.
Okay, I'm dying to have somebody put a positive spin on this for me.
I'm not saying I'm going to put a positive spin on it, but let me just say...
Well, don't trash my hopes too early.
May not have been an entire waste, but we got Jerry on the line. He wants to talk about some other news that broke today.
Oh, God, yeah, this is ridiculous.
It is
indeed. Let Jerry break it.
Yeah, we'll let Jerry fill us in. Jerry, thanks for calling today.
Yeah, no problem. I was just driving this afternoon, and about a half an hour ago, I just heard the late Friday afternoon news like nobody's listening, like that Lois Lerner will not be charged.
Imagine that.
Wow, what a shock.
I mean, unbelievable.
She did nothing wrong.
This woman, dead to rights, what she did was a felony, releasing people's tax information. It was absolutely a felony.
Yeah, the Department of Justice today has announced that no on Lolo, and that I spell that L-O-W-L-O, as in low-down, dirty, rotten scoundrel, right? Yeah, the Department of Justice is not going to prosecute Lois Lerner for all her shenanigans over at the IRS.
No.
And I guess they probably figure, well, if we prosecute her, we're going to have to prosecute the whole doggone agency over there, right?
Yes.
So I don't want to make light of it, but obviously this should send chills down your spine if you were hoping that the Department of Justice is going to do anything about Hillary Clinton either.
No, there's no way.
It's not good news, but it's not, of course, not unexpected at all.
No, not from this administration.
No. And the good news is I don't know if there is a statute of limitations, and if this isn't dismissed in a court of law, that these charges could at a later time perhaps be brought back. If you say you get a next president who might be like Donald Trump and have the guts to actually do it and get him an AG by the name of Ted Cruz who might actually be willing to do something like that. But for the time being, Lois Lerner's going to skate.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, and it seems like I'd like to be hopeful, you know, no matter who gets in, you know, if any Republican gets in the next election for president.
Well, somebody could at least file a civil lawsuit for defamation of character. They could have a class action lawsuit against her for that.
There might be some civil action, but her operating as a government official is going to make that very difficult.
Yeah, all this did was pad her resume so she could get promoted in the next year, you know.
Yeah, well, actually, she's not with the agency right now. I don't know if she can go back or not, but...
they'll find a spot for her.
Well, she got a sweetheart deal, you know.
They get
sweetheart deals because she had many years in over there, and she didn't lose any of it. So, yeah, she's going to walk away scot-free, and the organizations that were affected by it aren't going to really have any recourse.
All conservative organizations, by the way.
Yeah, and charity, you know, they're 501c3s, so they're not going to have a lot of money to pay lawyers for the most part. A few of them may.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and then the next administration is probably going to say, let's get on to new business.
Come in, and the new administration comes in and said, no, we're not going to go backwards. We're going to go forward.
But I tell you one court where she will not skate free.
Okay.
That's the Lord's
court.
There
you go. We can hope.
We know, but we don't know when, where, or how. But the Lord will even things out. He always does. Jerry, you want any other comments?
No, that's it. I just wanted to bring that up. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I just wanted to make sure that nobody let that one skate by on the Friday afternoon.
No.
We're going to do that. That
was top on my note list here.
But notice it, and Jerry, you're really an intelligent listener because you picked up on that it was late Friday afternoon when they released the information, which means people are going to slide into the weekend. And by the time Monday rolls around, people are going to say, hey, did you hear about Lois Lerner? And they're going to go, that's old news.
And furthermore than that, they did it on a week when there's so much other big news that this will not be talked about. Like Jerry's saying, this won't even hardly be mentioned over the weekend, the talking head shows.
Yeah, this isn't even a blip on their radar.
Exactly. If they spend 10 seconds talking about it, I'll be surprised.
Oh, man.
All right, well. Mm. All right, Jerry. Thanks. Appreciate you bringing that up.
No problem. Thanks.
All right. Yep. So, yeah, that's the way they act. That's the way they work. And that's why, you know, I'm hoping that we get somebody, if it ain't Trump, that's going to be like Trump. Because this nonsense has got to stop. And obviously the establishment's not going to work too hard to do that. All right, when we come back after the break, I want to talk about this Benghazi hearing, sort of put the capper on it. I may talk about it a little bit more Sunday night, but I want to get Dr. Kay's opinion on it, and I want to get his take on her body language.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you actually made me look at her yesterday. For that, I'm not going to be too thankful, but yeah, I did.
Okay. In the meantime, once again, please help us out with the Save the Babies campaign. I hope you were listening during Michael Medved's normal show hour today, as the ladies and everyone were talking, Pete, we're talking on the air about, well, testimonials and things about how this money goes to help save babies, literally, right in this town. Not just save babies, but in many cases, save the lives of the mothers.
Well, and not only just the lives, but the mental anguish that women go through, even the ones that actually do end up having an abortion. You know, 10 years later, they still remember what the birth date of that child was going to be. And it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're really, really callous.
Yeah.
You can't just have that eradicated from your body and say, okay, I'm done. I'm moving on.
Yeah. And
it's going to come back.
And the fathers who have a conscience and acquiesce or go along or happens with their knowledge, they're in for a pinch too.
Yep. It's just it's a sad situation all the way around. Everybody thinks it's a one and done, and it doesn't work that way.
No, life never does.
No, it's never that easy.
So please help us by going to am660theanswer.com or call the 800 number, 800-357-1997, 800-357-1997, am660theanswer.com. Please help us out, and please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Lying. I'm sorry. That's just so bad.
The performance that we saw yesterday from Hillary Clinton, I actually even heard Bob Haldeman. You remember Watergate?
Watergate.
He said she was even a great thespian today.
He didn't say
lesbian. He said thespian.
He said thespian.
Of course,
but he was close.
He could have said either one.
It could have been a Freudian slip. You know, my class was asking me about Freudian slips the other day. That could have been one right there.
It could have been.
I meant to say thespian. I meant to say lesbian. Oh, well, darn it.
Well, welcome back to the show. The hearing, quote unquote, wrapped up about 9 o'clock last night. And at the very end, they finally got to some stuff that was pretty interesting. But before I get to that, and who may actually be the star witness, Hillary Clinton may not ever have really been the star witness in this. And that person has not testified yet.
Okay.
And good prosecutors oftentimes want to bring the star witness on last. After everybody else has been on the witness stand and given their side of the story.
Yep.
So that if they lied, the star witness will be the one that will put them on the spot.
Okay.
Now, having said that, Dr. K, you were just telling me about how much you enjoyed watching that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It was torture. Oh, man, I got better things to do on my day off. Don't ask me to do that again.
So you said after Trey Gowdy's campaign speech to start the whole day, it went
down.
Yeah,
after his stump speech, I believe, is how I referred to it, because that's all it was. It was a stump speech so that his constituents would go, wow, we've got a good guy up there. He's really going after her. And then everything just went downhill.
Well, it seemed, you know, very chaotic, to be honest with you. He had said prior that what they were going to do was cover the before, the during, and the after.
Yeah.
And they touched on each, but it didn't seem to flow. And they oftentimes seem to be, quite honest with you, a little bit ill-prepared.
Little.
Yeah. And the questions were of the nature that allowed Hillary Clinton to do what she does best. Excuse me. Pardon me. Do what she does best, which is to go on these, you know, monologues.
She obfuscated so much stuff by the way she just went off on these tangents and circumvented the question and came back and acted like she was done. And they went, okay.
Well, and plus they didn't do a very good job, I thought, of tying her answers and using them against her in the same hearing.
Right.
In other words, using the answers that she was giving against her. I'll just use one example, and I talked about this on yesterday's show. When the congresswoman from, where was she from, North Carolina?
North Carolina.
She stacked up the email papers on the desk in front of her trying to make a point.
Yeah.
All right, she stacks up 700 and something emails from 2011, all having to do with Benghazi. And about 60 from 2012.
Yeah.
Now, 2012, of course, is the year in September that the attack occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, there was a lot more during 2011 than 2012. And Hillary's response was, well, I don't do all my business through email.
I don't even have a computer in my office.
In a tone like, you stupid idiot. And then she goes on to say, I every morning got a briefing from the CIA in person, and I talked in person with President Obama anytime I wanted to, and anytime this, and anytime that, blah, blah, blah. Well, then the question from the congressperson should have been then, why weren't you doing that in 2011?
Yeah.
What's the difference? That's not a difference. You were Secretary of State in both years. Weren't you getting those briefings in 2011?
Right, but even the more obvious question was, she was saying that Ambassador Stevens was the one given all control, and they were going to go off of what he says. Well, he's not going to be giving her a briefing every morning in the White House on the Rose Garden. He's going to be communicating through email. Where are those emails?
And that would have been the next question.
Ugh.
Are you sure...
Yes.
That we have all the emails from 2012.
Do we have all of them?
Because those, they are incriminating, would be the ones that they didn't want. She didn't want anybody to see.
Exactly.
And those would be the ones that got lost with her personal emails, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You know, and they never really pressed her on that.
And they don't let her skate on it no matter what her answer was.
Just one example. Just one example.
Yeah.
Plus, they don't know how to, let's just say they don't know how to do this right.
No.
Here's what they should have done.
Should have had her waterboarded.
They should have. First of all, I want to get to the body language later when we have a little more time. But first of all, what I would have done. Now this is me.
Mm-hmm.
I would have had like 30 by 48 inch posters of the four men killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with smiling photographs, so that right up there.
Yeah.
You know, not behind where the questioners are, but right to the side where everybody sees them.
Sure.
And then at the appropriate moment, I would have those photographs removed only to reveal the photographs of the dead Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw last night after, and I'd never seen this photograph before, but I saw last night after the hearing was over, Megyn Kelly, the intro to her show, they flashed for about 5 seconds, maybe, a photograph of Ambassador Stevens. Let me kind of describe it.
Yeah.
All right. He was on his knees,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
His shirt was ripped open. You could see his T-shirt. He had his pants on, but the belt was unbuckled.
Mm-hmm.
He was clearly beaten to a pulp.
Yep.
He had this huge, like, bubble on the top right side of his forehead. His eyes were beaten shut. His mouth was all beaten up. I believe they were holding his head up and holding it back by his hair.
Mm-hmm.
They had his arms behind his back. And guess who took that photograph?
Oh, okay.
the bad guys.
Yep.
And they tweeted it out.
Yep.
All right, or they Facebooked it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have had that photograph there, and I said, Mrs. Clinton, this is after she was talking about how he was her friend all of this stuff, and how she and when they revealed that he couldn't get he didn't have direct access to her, and evidently in 2012 her interest was waning or something. And then I would say, Mrs. Clinton, can you turn around and explain to Sean Smith's mother over there why you lied to her directly and to the nation about her son up here?
Mm-hmm.
Just the revealing of those photographs would have changed the whole tenor of the meeting.
Oh, but we can't do that to her.
That's the problem.
Exactly.
Al, stay with us. I promise we'll take your call first on the other side of the break. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We're going to talk about the body language when we come back, and the possible person I think could be, and this is a big could.
Okay.
The real star witness here. All right.
All right. Look forward to it.
This could have just...
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got us. It's Friday, and I hope you're getting ready for a nice big weekend as we bear down on the Halloween weekend next weekend.
Oh, big time. Yep, right. Saturday even. That should be fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. That was Dr. Ken Vihek, and he's got his beautiful wife, Dr. Bernadette Vihek, next to him here in the studio. We got Al on the line. Nicholas Cicero's on the bridge. So if you want to give us a call like Al, go right ahead at 407-774-8255. Al, thanks for calling.
Hey, love the show, guys, as usual. God bless the doc.
Hey, how you doing, Al? It's always good to talk to you, my friend.
Yes, sir, brother. These are the same people, first off, these are the same people. They have no regard for human life, Hillary Clinton and her little goon squad people.
Yeah. Did you see them all there with her? By the way, real quick, I'm going to let you say what you... But did you see them all there with her last night? Susan Rice, not Susan Rice, she had...
Uma, whatever her name is.
Uma Abedin.
Yeah.
Cheryl Mills, and several... she had Jake Sullivan there.
Yeah.
All because Mills and Sullivan... They were part of what was going on that night.
Yep,
they were
the ones
keeping Hillary filled in. They were sort of channeling the information they were getting from various sources to Hillary to keep her informed about what was going on. And they're giving this play-by-play, and, of course, there was never any response. Anyway, go ahead, Al.
Yes, sir. I that's exactly what I was going for. And you know, these are the same people that – okay, so – from my standpoint, what I want to know is, you hit the nail on the head. It's like you were reading my mind. Where are these people's family at? Like, if I'm the wife and the family members, I want to be in that courtroom, right?
Well, I believe some of them were. It was hard to see behind the Hillary Clinton people, which they were there as stage props. I mean, and I'll be quite honest with you, they had their token black women sitting behind her. And then later on in the evening, they had the lawyer sitting behind her. I'm not kidding about that.
Yeah, no, I know. I started laughing.
Yeah, it's all pomp and circumstance. Here we go.
It's sad, but this is how they maneuver. This is how they work. You know, they're not above any of the tricks.
Not above anything.
And then the lawyer later on was sitting back there like one of those bobblehead dolls, with his head bobbing up and down and smirks on his face.
But it's like people forget, this is the same woman that said, you know, what difference does it make? It already happened. You know, like, who cares? This is the same woman that looked everybody in the face and lied straight to their face. And another point that I want to point out is, I believe that during that whole time, yes, it was a terrorist attack. Yes, they did attack us. Yes, they did do that. But I believe during that time they were pissed off because we were illegally running guns through Libya, and they knew it. And that's what I want to hear that comes out, because these are the same Syrian rebels that we were arming back then. It all stemmed from all of this. We were gun running through our ambassador.
Through that consulate.
Mm-hmm. Through that consulate, and they knew that. And that's what I wanted to come out, because that's the bigger issue. We're still dealing with that crap today.
Well, you know, that's...
The Syrian rebels that used the gas, those were the same ones that we were giving the guns to.
Yeah, well, that's...
Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, that's kind of where I think maybe, just maybe, Trey Gowdy and these other Republicans are maybe just a little bit smarter than they looked yesterday, because if they do what I think is possible, this whole thing could blow up big time on Hillary. Now, that's wishful thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I'll grant you big time right now. But here's what could happen. And Kathy Santomassimo and I were talking about this. And actually, she brought up the fellow's name.
Mm-hmm.
And he is right in the middle of this. And he could actually be the star witness. And he could actually have a good motivation to do it, too. But then there are other things that could prevent him from doing it.
But
to get back to your point, last night, finally, the second to the last guy, and it was Pompeo, or however you pronounce his name, the guy from Kansas.
Yep.
He was the second to last questioner, and then Gowdy was the last one. And he finally, during his last couple of questions of his last round, he finally asked the questions that should have been asked, and perhaps, maybe, they set her up. Let me explain what I mean. It was toward the end of the night, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says, okay, I have a last few couple of questions here, and then these are going to be yes or no answers. And by the way, this may be sensitive material, but even though they're yes or no answers, if you feel like you can't answer these questions, then we can do this in a closed-door session, and we can do this another way. So you don't have to answer these even though they're yes or no questions. And you could immediately see both her and the lawyer guy, Kendall, behind her, kind of, you know, get a little puzzled look on their face. All of a sudden, their demeanor begins to change slightly.
Yeah.
Then he says the question. Did you know or were you participating in gun running from Libya to Syria through Turkey? And I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. He may not have used all those words, but he asked her the gun running question.
Mm-hmm.
And at first she kind of acted a little stupid. She played the dumb.
Yeah, well.
And then he repeated the question, and he also said again, I believe, if you feel like you can't answer this because it's sensitive. So he's obviously on to something, or at least thinks he is here.
Okay.
And she says, no, I can answer. She says, no. And he asked her, basically rephrased the question and asked it again, and she said, no. And you can see the lawyer behind her kind of more or less looking back and forth at her, thinking, you could tell kind of the gears were working in his head.
Yeah.
All right, is she gonna get ready to do something here that could be used against her somehow, is what he's thinking, because he's a lawyer, right?
Right.
And she kind of had a bit of a stunned look on her face, but gave the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked it about three times, and she said no each time. And he also brought up, well, there's an email here from Sidney Blumenthal where he talks about it. And she kind of scoffed like she did the whole day,
right.
You know, and then she was back in her groove and she said, oh, well, yeah, I didn't do everything he said. You know, I didn't even pay attention, kind of.
That's his email. It has nothing to do with what I do.
Right. But what he didn't bring up at that time, because he was out of time, and then the woman on the other side was, you know,
demanding,
moaning and groaning, you know, he's got an extra movie, 4 minutes. The other thing that he didn't mention at that point, but that did come out during the day, like I said, the day wasn't a total waste, that came out and that nobody kind of seemed to notice it, was that amongst the emails, evidently there was proof or documentation. I don't know if it's a direct email, but one of the emails, they were talking about doing business with a well-known gun runner, a gun smuggler. Now, if you want to run guns and smuggle guns, you might want to go to people who do that.
Yep.
And, of course, the CIA knows who's running guns. I tell you what, they know who's running guns in and out of Mexico. They know who's running guns in and out of Brazil. They know who's running guns in and out of Syria.
Yep.
That's what they do.
Yep.
I'd like to point out that they're the ones running the guns, Chris.
Well, in this case, they were.
Yep.
And that's the whole crux of it here. And where perhaps, maybe, just maybe, the best is yet to come.
I pray that something like that would happen.
Well, let me go ahead and
open up a can of worms that they do not want to open, even the Republicans, because they're a bunch of scared, wimpy, female dogs. Excuse me, Ms. Geraldine, with all due respect.
Yeah. Well, there is one person right in the middle of this. Should they be the vindictive sort, let's just kind of preface it with that, they could make a mess out of this whole thing, and perhaps this person has already been talked to, and perhaps they waited last night. I'm just once again dreaming and wishful thinking here, but perhaps maybe they waited till the sort of the last night when maybe she wasn't entirely fresh and on her guard to ask her those questions, thinking and perhaps even hoping they would get the response that they got. A very direct, it was the only question during the day that she answered directly. Mm-hmm. Did you know, was there any? No. There was no really elaboration until he brought up the Blumenthal thing, but it was a no. It was not, I don't know anything about it. It was just no. Now, if this other person were willing to come in and testify about what he knows, it could blow this thing wide open. Do you know who I'm talking about, Al?
I think I do, sir. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the CIA. Does that give you a hint?
Yes, sir, it does.
Who am I talking about?
Are you talking about Mr. Brennan?
No. I'm talking about General Petraeus.
Oh, wow.
He was the director of the CIA at the time, was he not? Guess who was the first person that Hillary called that night when she first found out what was going on? It was not her husband, Bill Clinton. It was not Barack Hussein Obama. It was General Petraeus. Because the CIA and Hillary Clinton were working closely together in the gun running. That was what Christopher Stevens was doing. He was right in the middle of all that. That's why they pulled out the other ambassador. This is another thing they didn't follow up on.
I know.
The other ambassador was pulled out because of lack of security.
Yeah.
Wow.
Duh.
That is disgusting. That's disgusting.
So, General Petraeus, now really quick. General Petraeus has a motive, does he not? Uh-huh. What did they do to General Petraeus?
He went to jail for stuff she should be going to jail for.
He took it up the yang, buddy. Now, I know he's sworn to secrecy and all this, but perhaps in a closed-door hearing, he could spill the beans.
Yep.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed, and let's pray to our good Lord and hope that the things that are done in the darkness comes to the light. I truly, truly believe that these people are completely empty inside. They do not care about us. They are the ruling class. And if we do not get them out of there, then we deserve what we get. The Bible says many are the princes in your land because of the people's transgressions. Mm-hmm. And the people are so wicked in this country that they need the princes to be able to rule over them.
Well, I tell you what, we can pray hard, and perhaps the Lord will move General Petraeus, because he has to be thinking in his mind, this person might be the president of the United States. Can I allow that to happen? I know I have this obligation, but can I allow that to happen? And I could stick it to him real good in the process.
His obligation, first and foremost,
is to protect the Constitution.
Thank you. He is there to protect the Constitution and the people that reside in this republic. And if he doesn't get off his butt and do something, then he's just as bad as everyone else.
Amen.
My father's in the military. His father was in the military. My brothers are in the military. All my friends are in the military. I know Dr. Ken. You know, he's been in the military. I will be damned if someone goes out there and they are directly responsible for getting multiple people killed, and then we want to sit back and just act like nothing's wrong. And I get super emotional about it, because it pisses me off that these people think that they can just come and smile in everyone's face and nothing's ever going to happen to them. But you know what? We're going to see how this works out for everybody on Judgment Day. But everything is going to come out to light when God gets on the throne and he shows everybody what everybody's
doing. You know, the Democrats, and I'll let you finish out, Ken, but the Democrats are making a big deal out of, they didn't even call General Petraeus for this committee hearing. Why? This ain't a bona fide hearing. Well, maybe they didn't call General Petraeus for a reason. All right.
So Al, can I get you to go on the record to say you're not going to vote for Hillary in 2016?
I think he's gone, but I'm pretty sure we can be arrested, assured of that. John and Dave, please stay on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we come back from the break. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. And pray that the Lord puts the burden on General Petraeus to come clean on this thing and clean up this god-awful mess that we got it going on up yonder to Washington, D.C.
What a mess.
That's what we're doing here. Ride the storm out, all right. Not the storm outside, the storm in D.C. All right, let's go to John.
Can you name that album? Real quick, before we go to John, can you name the album?
That particular album, I cannot, because that sounded like
REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, but that wasn't the regular version of
that. Well, not, but it's you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
That's it. That's right.
There you go. All right.
They put on some whale of some concert.
Yes, they did.
I hope I said that right. Let's go to John. John, thanks for holding. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, guys. Hey, I heard on the news that Hillary raised more money in 1 hour after this hearing than she has during her whole campaign, which only goes to remind me of Forrest Gump's famous line.
Stupid is as stupid does.
Stupid is as stupid does. Now, the point that I really want to make is not so much about the Benghazi hearing. This is just the beginning. And they've got a lot of other people to depose. They're going to get a lot of more information, and I believe that they have a lot of information that they want to get corroboration. But I don't believe Benghazi is going to be the death knell.
What do you believe it will be, if there is one?
I really believe that some of the most telling information or evidence was the difference between the short stack and the big stack. I'm not talking about IHOP either.
You're talking about emails, yeah.
The emails. There are emails that are missing.
Yeah, no doubt.
The FBI is investigating the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation. Charles Krauthammer had alluded to the idea that a corporation was set up, a nonprofit charity organization was set up in Canada.
Right, yeah.
Canada, it is, they do not have to divulge the information of donors.
Right, and then that corporation was making the transfer. It was money laundering.
Large. Right.
Mike McBath went into this a little bit the other day. They were transferring the money from that Canadian organization into the Clinton Foundation here.
Right.
And now, that way there was no paper trail.
However, the FBI can do this because they can actually get into the digital electronic banking system.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can get the information as to what the source was, where that money came from, and what quantities.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are certain reporting rules. I know that if anyone, any U.S. citizen goes and deposits more than $10,000 into an account, it has to be reported by the bank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
So I really believe that the lost or the hidden emails probably have more to do with the Clinton Foundation than the Benghazi situation.
In terms of total numbers, you're probably right, but I do believe that there are a number of Benghazi emails missing too, and they probably have to do with her and Blumenthal and this arms running thing going on over there.
But
you're right. The problem with it, once again, though, with the FBI is this low down Loretta Lynch letting low down Lois Lerner go, and she could easily do the same thing because it will be her decision to make.
Yeah, and who's to say at the end of this, Obama doesn't give her a pardon anyway?
Yeah. No,
Well, it may actually drag on after the next election. However,
depending on who the president is, yes.
Right. But before I go, what I wanted to say is that there is a quote here. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men together in society, they create for themselves in the course of time a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. That was written in the late 1800s or mid-1800s. However, you know what? Justice has a way, given enough time, to find evil and sin.
Yeah. Yeah,
and John, don't kid yourself. There are a lot of banks out there that are reporting to the government anything over $3,000 in cash withdrawn or deposited.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yeah, because they don't want.
I gotta go.
All right, thank you, John.
Have a great weekend.
You be well. Same. Enjoy yours. Appreciate I'm golfing it. Tomorrow. Woo, I will.
Look at you.
Yeah.
All right. So when we come back on the other side, we'll be joined by B. Brian Blair. We'll get his take on all this. Of course, we're still interested to hear from you if you'd like to give us a call. And there's some new poll numbers out. It's looking to be better and better for Trump. Yeah, I know he's behind in Iowa, but he's ahead in all the other states.
Hey, you know.
And guess who won the Iowa caucus last time? And guess who won it before that? That's right. You don't remember them, probably,
right.
Because they didn't go on to become presidents. That's one of them was Santorum. The other one was Huckabee,
yep.
I think, in the reverse order. Anyway, Iowa is not where it's at. The game is outside of Iowa. However, if you get some money and can win Iowa, get some organization and can win Iowa, then you can perhaps at least keep your campaign going. And by the way, it is Carson who's leading in Iowa now. Trump and he kind of just reversed places, and everybody else is still nipping at their heels. But pretty much only in Iowa. Everywhere else, they are miles ahead.
I'm looking through the glass, and I see Nick over there smiling because he knows what Iowa stands for.
What's that?
Idiots out wandering around.
That's Dr. Ken Vihek. Send your sponsors,
there you go.
Too.
Send your more email. Who cares?
All right,
just spell my name right.
Yeah, but Trump still leads in Florida, where, as Dr. K said, he's going to be in Jacksonville tomorrow. He's in South Florida today, and he's coming to Central Florida in November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, all the candidates are coming here for something I think called the Sunshine Conference.
Yeah, and the debate's next Wednesday.
Yep, that's right.
We got a lot of stuff to cover.
This
is awesome.
Yep, so stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Okay.
The American Adversaries Primetime Drive Time Show. I'm that guy they used to call Nostradamus, sitting in what was an empty chair in the first hour, and now it's just a little bit fuller. Figured I'd stop by on my way home from work and say hi to Christopher Hart, to Dr. K, and to Dr. K. By the way, Dr. K, congratulations on your new network TV show. I'm not sure which of you doctors.
Thank you very much. I got a lot of promo stuff to sell. That's going to be great.
Interesting.
Yeah, once
it's
that show fails, they're going to have a lot of stuff left over to sell.
Buy the T-shirt, buy the sticker, then
that's
it's yours.
It. There you go. I'll take case loads. Just send it here. And I was going to be nice and say you weren't just filling that chair slightly either.
That's right, folks. If you recognize that voice, that is Nostradamus Dennis. It's been old home week. You know,
this is neat.
Yeah. Oh, Lair checked in last night by telephone.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nostradamus in the saddle today.
Gotta love that.
Folks, you can join us. You know the number, 407-774-8255, as we come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, where the number for my Mercury Free Dental Care Dentist is 407-678-3399. And that's Dr. James E. Hardy, and he's written a great book called Mercury Free. So don't forget to ask him about that. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. That's right, Dr. K. Nostradamus and I are here in the studio with you tonight. B. Brian Blair is going to be joining us momentarily. But Nostradamus, good to have you hanging around a little while.
It's good to visit in. You know, I've been listening to you. See, Chris and I have a thing going now since I haven't been on the air with the show. I'll text him when I hear him say something that either strikes my fancy or that I have to say, whoa, hey, buddy, hey, wait.
I usually just text him to breathe.
Yeah. And have we gotten Macbeth to stop saying Carly Farina? Because Farina was a character in The Little Rascals, okay?
Yes.
It's Fiorina, but then again, no one's pronouncing her name anyway.
And he is a football player, so he's going to be hard to teach.
That's true.
You can't change his that's going to be tough.
All right. So, anyway, by the way, Nostradamus was at our Sketty Eaton contest. You going to be at the pizza eating contest?
I think I will. I'm not going to enter. Those days are long gone for me. But
two men enter, one man leaves. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Now, have they decided, are there going to be toppings, or is it just all going to be straight cheese pizza?
That's the big question. Everybody wants to know.
Because we can start with something like anchovies. You get past that, then you move on to
that's aversion
to the regular
therapy.
Stuff.
You realize that. That's taste aversion.
Well,
you can't do that.
We'll have to ask Pasquale. I think he was thinking of pepperoni.
Okay, that's standard.
What, an 18-inch pepperoni?
18-inch pepperoni?
Yeah, and then after that, just slice after slice.
Okay, and so they have to eat an 18-inch pepperoni pizza first.
To get to the slices.
To get to the slices.
Crust and all.
Correct. Well, you know, and I know David's going to be, but, you know, with the problem with him, when he gets those individual slices, he's going to want multiple toppings. So, man.
I tell you what, that guy can put away some food.
He put away some food.
And, you know, his uncle is going to be in it this time with him.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
tell Pasquale to make extra dough.
As a matter of fact, you know, Roberto, Pasquale's brother, loves to make pizzas.
Yeah.
So he's often in there making pizzas. He said, I'm not going to be here that Monday night.
You know, big props. Mrs. Nostradamus and I were sitting right in the corner of the dining area.
Yeah.
And Jesse, the server over there, my goodness, he was on top of those bowls.
Yeah,
he was running them out.
Every
2 minutes, he and two other servers would come out and bing, bang, boom, right down in front of you.
They had a little fire line going
there.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome to watch. That was a great competition. And then Chris had to run over there and do the moderating, so Mike and I took over the radio.
Yeah.
Sort of like pirate radio that night.
You guys were doing the play-by-play. We're going to do the same thing this time.
Okay. Yeah.
Did Rachel Cohen finish her bowl yet? Because she was about half done by the time they announced the winner.
He's still telling stories about how well he did.
So, I tell you what. Anyway, we had a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun again on November the 16th. So, please come out and join us. And, you know, we'll just be getting back from the cruise.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We'll be going out on the 13th, the evening of Friday.
We'll
be coming back that morning of Monday.
Right.
And then that afternoon, we'll be doing the pizza eating contest.
And it's good, too, because it's going to stretch your stomach so you'll be ready for Thanksgiving.
That's right.
You get a week.
There you go. You get
a week little grace before you have to eat again.
That's right. That's right.
And, that's going to be neat.
Yeah. And Mary Lee's supposed to duck in here in a little while and give us the lowdown on the status of if there are any cabins left on that cruise and how much they cost in case you guys still want to get in on it. In the meantime, Nostradamus, did you see any of the show yesterday?
You know, just like the debates, I normally don't watch things like that because it's kind of predictable.
Yeah.
I know that what the words that come out of Hillary's mouth are not going to conform with what we know actually happened on that night in Benghazi.
You're not saying she'd lie to us.
It all depends on what your definition of anything
is. It depends on what
it is. The people who liked Hillary going in are saying, well, look at her. She stood tall. She answered every question. She didn't lose her cool. She looked presidential.
Oh, God.
And the people who don't like Hillary said, look at her. She's a flat-out liar. Look at her.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't know that many minds were changed. I really honestly don't.
There wasn't anything that's going to change. There were no bombshells because all that was confirmed yesterday was the fact that Hillary is a liar. And that's not big news.
We knew this.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's not earth-shattering. People are going, yeah, okay. That was it. They were waiting for something that was going to explode. They would say, wow, this is something we didn't know about her. But really, when you're lower than pond scum, nothing really is going to be shocking.
I wonder, though, if you're right, if those questions at the end by Mike Pompeo might be the precursor to something in the future that will come back to bite
her. If they got her to put it on the record in a direct answer like Chris was saying, that was the only question she directly answered.
You
come back and say, well, you said no,
right.
But yet, here's all this evidence.
You can't make no mean yes.
But the thing is, it's still in, and I'm so disappointed in the general populace. I don't see it changing, even if they do prove her wrong. I don't see the sides changing. I don't see anything happening other than the fact that it was like, okay, yeah, well, she did lie again.
Well, the danger, and this is why they lied to begin with. There were two reasons why they lied. They lied, obviously, because Barack Obama wanted to get reelected.
Yeah.
This was barely 2 months before the election, right?
Right.
And
and Romney didn't attack him on it.
Right. And and then, of course, they didn't want to uncover the covert operation that was going on there.
Right.
Which is, once again, why I think there was the delay in the response, is because it was a covert operation.
Yeah.
And normally, when the CIA gets in trouble in a covert operation, the CIA is the one who goes in for the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the guys at the annex, they wanted to go.
Well, and again, if you're talking about covert operations and you're talking about, oh, they're going to go in for a rescue, no, they don't go in for a rescue. They go in for cleanup.
Well, they disavow any knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the...
Okay.
Nonetheless, the rescue operations could have been mounted, but I think that they didn't do it because of what they were doing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And they're over there in Washington, D.C., okay?
Right.
They know what's going on, but they don't really know why it's going on, okay?
Because of a video.
Well, that was the lie, all right? But they know what they're doing.
Yes.
And so they have to assume that the reason for the attack has something to do with what they were doing there.
But here is how amateurish this administration is. They don't understand. And when they put Ambassador Stevens in that position because they thought if they put somebody in that position that has an ambassador title, that the people over in Benghazi would respect that title and not bother him.
No, well, they would if the person that ambassador reported to actually had a backbone and a spine instead of being a dancing queen.
Exactly.
Right.
But
right.
See, there was no, he was a paper tiger and they knew it.
They knew it was exactly. And they knew that he was there at that time and they knew that he didn't have very much in the way of security.
Mm-hmm.
They had been basically casing him. And once again, he was right in the middle of what they were doing over there. And this is why they didn't want much. I mean, the first organization to go into the compound from the West was CNN, if you remember.
Yeah.
CNN was the first ones to go in there. I mean, we hadn't even sent, other than the guys that went from the annex and took the... And by the way, they didn't even talk about all the other survivors.
Nope.
Last night.
There are more than 30 of them.
Right. They didn't say that, Mrs. Clinton, did you know that there was 30 other people that were there who were could have been exposed? Why wouldn't you have sent in a rescue operation at least to make sure they were okay? I mean, once again, the questioning was either total ineptitude or perhaps total cleverness. I would put my money on the former, not the latter.
Don't give him too much credit.
Yeah, don't do that.
All I'm saying is, if I had, let's say I'm Trey Gowdy, and guys from the committee, and I had information that either I got directly from Petraeus, or I knew that he knew, this would be how I would do it.
Okay.
I would set her up. Mm-hmm. I would bring her in, let her do her little thing, get her committed to the real issue at the heart, kind of do it in a sort of an offhanded sap fashion so China doesn't really realize what she's doing, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, then I bring in my star witness. Say, Mr. Petraeus or General Petraeus, can you tell us about the night of September 11th? What do you know about that night?
Yeah.
What led up to that night? The chances of that happening are a snowball in hell has a better chance.
And Hillary would go on TV and say, who are you going to believe, me or an adulterer?
Well, but that could be.
I'm sorry. They're going to find ways to deflect it. I have no confidence.
You know what I would say then?
What's that?
I'd say, Mrs. Clinton, you're right. I believe your husband before I believe you.
There you go.
Here's a question, though.
How do I get drug into this conversation? Yeah.
How much
hanging around?
How much personal protection does David Petraeus have right now? I'm serious about that question. Does he have a bodyguard and security? Because he's going to need one if there's any thought that he's going to go up against the Clintons.
Right. Hillary, if you're listening, I was just kidding. All right, when we come back, we got Warren on the line. I see we got B. Brian Blair on the line.
Let's take
a break, and we'll be right back with them guys. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Of course, that's the intro music for our man, B. Brian Blair, coming to us live from the west side of the state of Florida. So let's go to him real quick, and then Warren, stay with me. I'm going to get right back to you. But B. Brian Blair, how you be tonight?
I be good there, Killer Chris. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great over here. Real quick, did you see the hearing, quote-unquote, the yesterday?
Yes, I did. I watched it all, actually.
All right. All right. Stay with me because I want to go to Warren because he has a comment about Hillary. Then I want to get your take on the whole thing. Warren, thanks for calling and holding on the line for us.
Yeah, I've got actually three things.
List them.
One real quick one would be when you start talking about the new Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Would be to come in with bumper music on using the Who with Won't Get Fooled Again. Same as the old boss.
Yep. Amen.
The new boss. Okay. Consider
now,
it good.
Getting back to what infuriated me most, I think, other than the fact that Trey Gowdy normally is just, you know, he can dig in with claws like the guy on criminal intent.
He's a courtroom lawyer. Yeah,
yeah he is. Yeah.
And he should be. He should have. He acted more like a. He's been acting more like a pussycat. anyway, it was Elijah Cummings. It just the guy. He gave his didn't just give Hillary a pass. He championed her. Oh, just. His Democrat, you know, all of his partisanship was showing through.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, late in the evening, he gave this little soliloquy, you know, laying pity all over her. You poor thing, what are they going to do to you here? How long is it enough? When are we going to stop this? They're trying to get the gotcha moment over there. And he went on, they prattled on for about 5 minutes. And then he actually got some applause.
Yeah, I know.
And I don't know why Gowdy didn't slam that gavel right then. I told y'all I wasn't going to take that in here.
Well, he didn't want it to be partisan. He was trying to keep it neutral.
Yeah, well, see.
That's
the problem, though, with Republicans.
Right.
The other side is not going to play that game.
They're not going to play fair.
Yeah, so they're going to.
The other thing.
All right, real quick so I can get to Brian.
Real quick. You remember Leona Helmsley?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
The famous statement she made.
I don't remember the famous statement. Don't remember. Oh, no.
Only little people pay the taxes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
the
right.
Queen of Mean.
That's her.
Queen of Mean. Okay. There's a guy named Nicola Bassley, or we know him as Mark Bassley.
Okay.
He's the one that did the film. He's a little guy, too.
Yeah.
He went to jail for a year over that trumped up. Thing with the film.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
The little guys always get hurt.
Yeah.
The powerful.
That's another thing. Why didn't they ask Hillary Clinton? Do you feel bad about the guy that made that video being imprisoned for wrong?
Yeah.
So, all right. Thanks, Warren. God bless you. Appreciate you being out there. And Warren, by the way, is a member of the American Adversaries Army. B. Brian Blair. What are your thoughts on this thing?
Well, I tell you, I think it proved even further that Hillary is as deceptive as, facts are facts. She's a liar. She's a blatant liar. And there was a couple exchanges.
Can I stop you right there real quick? Just real quick, and I want to get all your thoughts. But that's something, you know, we kind of talked about it and more or less dismissed that oh, yeah, so what else is new? She was proved a liar. But that actually, I think, can be significant because
it'll be very significant when when Donald Trump or Ben Carson or Carly Fiorina or whoever is the nominee spends millions of dollars to replay that over and over.
Yeah.
And, you know, where's the remorse for the for our dead people that served over there? I mean, it's just such a shame. But, you know, and it proved that Hillary was doing this for her own self. They caught her, even though it went off subject a little bit, but her aides had gone back and forth about how she should address things so she could look great over four or five dead guys. And not just guys, but respected military people that, along with
Ambassador Stevens.
Ambassador Stevens. What I wanted to get at, really, to me, what I got out of it most was it's so obvious. It is so obvious, Chris, that it was an election time, and they did everything they could. I mean, we can talk about the video, and you're right about the guy that went to jail for that. God bless him. That's terrible, terrible, terrible. It makes me almost ashamed for under this leadership to be an American, for them to do what they're doing and getting away with it. The Obama probably got elected because this was not exposed after he had talked about Al-Qaeda was on the run. There was no more. We had nothing to fear anymore. And,
we won the war on terror because we killed. He killed. What was it?
GM's alive. Obama's dead. And yeah. Al-Qaeda's on the run.
Right. Yeah.
And so now can you imagine if this comes out at that time?
Yeah. It would have devastated.
They were freaking out about it, and that is the main, to me, that is the main item out of the whole, out of all the talks, that is the main issue that sticks out to me.
Well, I think it's an important one, too. Should the candidate, the right candidate, you mentioned Trump or Carson, I certainly think they would do it, you know, be able to put together that, because this, what is this election right now, seemingly at least, most about? People are sick and tired and fed up of these lying, scandalous politicians, right? Yesterday, she was revealed and proved to be a lying, scandalous politician. Now, someone who is clever can take some clips out of what she did yesterday, as Brian was talking about. They can just juxtapose her, you know, smiling through the testimony and then show some pictures of what was happening that night, right? And they can use that effectively should they have the gonads to do it. That's the only question. I don't think any of the establishment candidates have the nads to do it.
I think Trump might.
Oh, he's not an establishment candidate, though. But yeah. Trump, Carson, Fiorina would. But I'm a little queasy about the rest of them because they all play this game that Trey Gowdy seemed to be playing yesterday, which is we have to be polite here. We have to maintain
a
decorum so that they don't say we're trying to be political. And, of course, at the end of the day, they still get accused of being political.
And you know, that was because of the California congressman who said the whole reason we formed this committee is to get Hillary off the presidential ticket.
Thank you, Kevin McCarthy.
Appreciate that.
What did you think when you heard that, Brian?
Oh, it made me sick.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe that. I can't believe that. And you know, the Democrats will use that any way they can to help their candidate.
Well, they were using it plenty this past week. That's for sure.
Makes me wonder what the Clintons might have on Kevin McCarthy. They might have some dirt that they could dig up and air out. And hey, he's one of the most established congressmen in Washington.
I'd like to think it was that.
The bottom line was it's time to clean house.
Yeah.
We need all those people that are dug in like a tick on an Alabama coonhound in Washington. We need to get them out of there.
And I agree.
I think the people have woken up. Finally, America, and I'm not just talking about Republicans. I'm talking about independents.
Yes, this is me, Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
And that's what you're listening to. You're listening to the American Adversaries here on 660 AM, 105.5 FM. And that was the B. Brian Blair that you just heard on the breaker coming back in. But we have the real one online right now. And he's been giving us all his opinions on what happened over the last week and at the hearing here. And hopefully we can get some answers on what he thinks is going to happen in the future.
Ah, who knows? Hey, Brian.
He's a great guy. I can't wait to meet him.
That's one of my favorite bumps there, Brian. I love that.
Hey, oh, well, thank you.
Hey, real quickly, and we got another caller about Hillary. I want to go to him in just a second, but I want to get back with you just for a few minutes with this Hillary thing. You know, obviously now she is the front runner in this contest. What do you think her chances? Just let's just say it's a generic Republican. What would that generic Republican have to do to beat Hillary Clinton?
She needs to expose, he or she needs to expose the fact that, A, she cared about the election more than the dead heroes in Benghazi. In fact, the one thing that certainly proves that is she told her family the truth and admitted that she lied to the public. I mean, this is absolutely absurd in order to help Barack Obama win his election and in order to keep any dirt off of her. As a matter of fact, one of the people that has not gotten, the family have not gotten the death benefits yet because the Obama administration is so peed off over this that they're still fighting for the death benefits.
You mean the families of one of these four?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's going on right now.
Because they're saying that it was so convoluted, they're not going to pay it yet.
Oh, my God. They knew day one it was a terrorist act, right?
It was ludicrous. I mean, this is a shame and a sham, and Hillary will be in a jam. I guarantee you that, because there will be some of the most dynamic people thinking about how to put the truth into a colorful way to hit the American people where they vote from.
I think you're right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I can see a commercial where it opens up with Hillary Clinton in her, you know, pitiful little voice going, "Oh, Chris Stevens was my friend, and I've lost more sleep than all of you put together." And I would be flashing periodically the photographs of the attack that night. And then I would put the "What difference does it make?" clip in there, and you could, I mean, there's somebody that knows what they're doing can really roast this woman, mm-hmm. and you know, I would put in the snarky laughs, and that's the one.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, they gave her a lot of material. She gave the Republican field a lot of material yesterday, if they are just astute enough to know how to see it and use it. Because you're right, Brian. I think that point of her lying and it being proven that she's a liar and that she did it so cavalierly. You know, I would have had Sean Smith's mother stand up, and I would have, because she's been all over the TV, and we knew this the day that it happened, that Hillary told her. It was about the video. I would have had her stand up and I would say, "Mrs. Clinton, would you please now look at Sean Smith's mother over there and tell her why you lied to her about the video?"
Absolutely. And how about when at least Trey Gowdy, you got to give him credit. He put up the first stack of emails that were very, like maybe 3 inches thick, and said that Hillary said, "This is every email we ever talked about regarding Benghazi," yet they got a stack that was 15 times as thick.
Yeah.
Between that time. I mean, she's an obvious liar. How can you possibly vote for somebody like that?
And the State Department just yesterday, while the hearing was going on, gave them another stack of emails, and a lot of them from Christopher Stevens. This thing ain't over yet. I don't know where it's going. I don't know where it's going, but it ain't over yet. Let's go to Rick. Rick, thank you for holding. Appreciate you being out there.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Hello there.
Hey, you remember back in the 90s when there were some embassies in Africa that were attacked? And
yeah.
Resulted in the bombing of an aspirin factory.
Right.
Do you remember the law that came out from that?
No, I don't.
It was signed by Bill Clinton. It's called SECTA, Secure Embassy Counterterrorism Act.
Oh, that's right.
The responsibility for all embassies' security directly on the Secretary of State. And it stipulates that it is not to be delegated. And if she's saying that she leaves it to the experts to determine the security, she's in violation of the act that her husband signed into law.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, Rick. Perhaps they knew that and didn't want to bring it out yesterday. Maybe, hopefully, that's the case. But
it also says that if you have a mission like the consulate that they had in Benghazi,
that it's considered
that everything is supposed to be centered there. There should not have been a separate CIA location there. It's all to be in the same compound.
Right, which once again leads me to believe, and you've said this on the show yourself before, that they
were 3 days after the attack that it was gun running.
Yep, and you were right.
Yep.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Appreciate you being out there. Brian, your thoughts on what he just said?
Great. Rick brought up a great point. I mean, there's so many great points, and you know the media, both Republican, all the entrenched media, even Fox News sometimes. I like Fox News, but sometimes I think that it's almost like it's the bureaucrats against the people. And sometimes we have to look and dissect and be smart enough to see through the screen that they're putting up. And I'm not saying that Fox always puts up the screen, but sometimes they do things to protect those that are entrenched in Washington. And it's just, to me, so obvious. It's so obvious that, A, it was done to protect the Obama 2012 election. It was done to Hillary lied. They sent a lady to talk about a video, and there's a man still in jail over this lie. There are so many lies that are perpetrated throughout this thing that once it's all dissected, I think that Hillary will be backtracking big time.
All right. Hey, Brian, I got to let you go for tonight. Why don't we do this again next week? You got time?
Always.
All right. We'll talk.
I love your audience, and I love you, Chris. God bless you. Thank you very much, and I'll do another bumper for you later. Right now, I'm so peed off at what's going on in this country. It makes me ill. How about the 200,000 people that Obama wants to bring into this country? Oh, man, we could go on and on.
Yeah.
But anyway, God love you, brother.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. And same to you. Have a great week. That's half of the Killer Bees team champions. And
it was always fun to watch, man. Those guys are so good.
Plus, he knows his politics.
Yeah, he does.
And speaking of somebody who knows his politics, that'd be Nostradamus. He's in the studio.
Good.
And we also have Mara Lee, Vacation Travel Planners, who bebopped in. You got a new commercial running during the show here. What's some of the deals in that there commercial you got running?
7-night Thanksgiving week cruise on Princess.
Wow.
Starting at $449 per person.
Golly. Where do you go for that?
How do they do that?
Where do you go for $449?
Nowhere. They just stay tied up at the pier.
Caribbean cruise.
Wow. a full Caribbean cruise, seven days.
Full Caribbean cruise.
All right. How's our...
Over Thanksgiving week.
How about our Come Sail Away With Me cruise? Any cabins left?
Only a few.
And they are going fast, right?
And they're going fast, yeah.
And if you want to find out, go to vacationtravelplanners.com. That's vacationtravelplanners.com. And she's got specials running all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, you can custom fit a vacation, right?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you how great she is at her job.
How so?
Dr. Bernadette and I were on a cruise in September. Our cabin costs twice as much as the one Mara Lee has.
How do you like that, folks? Do you hear that?
I don't like that because you got your cruise from someone other than Mara Lee. I don't like that at all.
But he learned his lesson.
No. The organization paid for it.
Oh, okay.
And what they did, they went and contracted directly with whoever they are, Royal Caribbean.
And thought they were getting a deal.
And thought they were getting, and I went up to tell them after, you know, had the follow-up weekend, and I'm like, who did you get this book through? Because they paid for everything, and they were telling us how much it was, and I'm like, That's ridiculous. You have to use Mara Lee, and so they're going to be calling you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Telling you want to get.
I get like what 10% commission on that. Is that what that works?
I'll talk.
Okay. You want to get the best deal
She's
in
so
town?
Sweet. I love
on
her.
Your cruise or any vacation. Call Mara Lee, Vacation Travel Planners, vacationtravelplanners.com, and your phone number, Mara Lee.
321-251-4777.
All right. When we come back, Nostradamus is going to give us a movie review on what's the name of that movie?
The movie is Woodlawn, and it's, well, I'll let you know how it is when we get back.
All right.
Okay. You gotta love this bumper music. It gets everybody toe-tapping in here on a Friday. Get ready for the evening. You're listening to the American Adversaries. I am Dr. Ken Vihek here with Christopher Hart. We got Mary Lee from All That Vacation Planners. People, she does such a great job. And, of course, we're glad to see Nostradamus back here.
Hi, guys.
Oh, look at that. And, of course, I wouldn't get slapped if I don't mention that Dr. Bernadette's over here to my right.
Oh, I thought you meant Nick.
Yeah, Nick's pressing all the buttons. Well, he's
Nick's always a button pusher.
Nick.
All right.
But he's not wearing his Hawaiian shirt today, and I'm a little upset because I wore mine 2 weeks in a row, and he never wore his Hawaiian shirt for Hawaiian Shirt Friday.
All right. Okay. All right. Mary Lee is here, Vacation Travel Planners. We got a cabin or two left if you want to join us for our Come Sail Away With Me cruise, which sails 3 weeks from today, isn't it? Just
wow.
three weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
Counting down, 21 days.
Is that it?
Yeah. So we'll be sailing out of Port Canaveral Friday
Ooh.
Afternoon, mm-hmm. coming back Monday morning. And then that Monday afternoon, we're going to have our pizza-eating contest.
Yeah.
So we're going to have one way over
weekend.
So we go
right from overeating on a cruise to overeating at Cafe Positano.
You got it. We'll be in hog heaven, so
yeah,
to speak.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
All right. And once again, Mary Lee can fix you up with any cruise, any vacation package, terrestrial or ocean-going, or river-going, too, right?
That's right. And have some great specials going over on the river cruises. Free airfare.
And where most of the river cruises are in Europe, aren't they?
Well,
the majority of them, yes.
Yeah. Do they still have river cruises up and down St. John's. I mean, the Mississippi, yeah.
They have been yes, to St. John's, too.
Do they really?
Yeah, they have been to St. John's.
I'm not talking about those airboat rides.
No.
All right. Nostradamus, tell us about Woodlawn.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go see it, the movie Woodlawn.
Where did you see it, by the way?
It's over here in the Altamont 18, the big AMC theater. It's also playing right now in Winter Park at the Regal Village 20. It's in Cinemark Festival of Bay, Orlando, Pointy Orlando, Theater 21, Seminole Town Center, Oviedo Marketplace, basically all the big ones. It just opened last week and opened in the top 10.
Wow.
And for a faith-based movie by an independent company. I mean, it's the Irwin brothers. Andrew and John Irwin are the producers of the movie. So the people who brought you God Is Not Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And starting in the top 10, that's a great sign. That means that they were in 5 or 6 theaters in your town last week. They may be opening in 10 or 12 theaters this coming week. This is now going into their second week of release. It's a football movie, but it's really not a football movie. It's a movie about life. It's a movie about tolerance. It's a movie about faith. It takes place.
And it's supposed to be based on a true story, right?
Yes. Based on a true story in Birmingham, Alabama in the early 70s. This is one of the last high schools, Woodlawn High School in Alabama, one of the last high schools to be integrated. And the kids being bussed in to this white high school don't want to be there. And the kids who are in the high school don't want these black kids there. And the coach of the football team has a problem because he's got to let the black kids play on the team because they're part of the school, and he has to help try to keep
the white kids on the team.
Keep the white kids on the team, but keep the black kids together. And he has problems. Some of the kids don't like it. Some of the parents of the kids who aren't playing don't like it. And then out of the blue comes a guy. Guy's name is Hank. He's not a preacher. He's just a guy who wants to talk to the team. The coach says, hey, get out of here. You don't belong here. What do you have to do with these kids? He ends up getting to talk to the team. He introduces them to Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Almost to a man, the team answers the altar call, and they unite as a team. And they go black and white. And they go from being an awful team that was not projected to win any games at all to making it to the state championships. And some of the portrayals are really incredible.
By the way, they got some good football players in Alabama. That's why they have so many good football teams at Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah, the great cameos. John Voight plays Bear Bryant.
Is that right? Does he wear the houndstooth hat
he
and all
does.
That?
Yeah. You have to.
He does a great job playing Bear Bryant. Very understated, you know, very subtle.
Yeah.
Another player.
But does he look like Bear in it?
He doesn't physically look like Bear Bryant,
okay.
But with the hat pulled down over his eyes,
yeah.
He kind of evokes the aura of Bear Bryant.
Right,
and it's
right.
funny where he comes to visit this kid.
You know, one of our listeners played for ball. Don, you know Don? Didn't he play for the Bear?
I'm not sure.
I believe he's told us that on the show before.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. The
Roll
focus of the
Tide.
Movie, a kid named Tony Nathan, who's one of the black kids who's new to the high school, played by Caleb Castile. A couple of funny things about this as I researched the movie. He was not the original choice in the movie. He was going to be the body double, the athletic body double for the actor they were going to get to play Tony Nathan. That actor backed out, and this is his first acting role. He's an athlete. In fact, he played high school football in Alabama, and he played on Alabama's football team.
Is that right? Now, by the way, that name Tony Nathan sounds familiar. Did he make it to the NFL?
Tony Nathan made it. In fact, he won a national championship in 1973 with Alabama and then played for several years in the NFL.
I thought so, yeah.
The kid on their rivals team gets very, very friendly with Tony. Kid named Jeff Rutledge.
Oh, yeah.
A white kid.
Quarterback.
Who ended up playing for the New York Giants. Yep. I've met Jeff Rutledge because I worked in New York at the flagship station of the New York Giants football team.
Yeah.
This kid is a dead ringer for an 18-year-old Jeff Rutledge.
Wow. Is that
and
right?
Seeing the two of them interact as rivals, but as brothers in Christ, it's a really, really nice movie.
So that's Woodlawn. You can see it this weekend and at the Altamont 18.
Everywhere. Regal, Winter Park, Cinemark, Festival of A, Seminole Town Center, Oviedo Marketplace, Claremont, Disney, Lake Buena Vista, Waterford Lakes. It's everywhere. Yeah.
By the way, do they have movies like that? Not obviously not current run movies, but like movies you might see in the Dollar Theater on ships?
Absolutely.
Do they?
Absolutely. In fact,
do they have like a little theater where you can watch it and all?
Some of the ships have theaters. A lot of them now have a huge screen up on deck where they'll actually do first-run movies on there or sporting events, like, you know, like when they had, like, the
playoffs
and stuff.
I can't wait to be up on deck at night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Up on deck when they show the movie up there at night. It's
yeah,
awesome.
You're just sitting in one of the lounge chairs and, yeah, got the ocean breeze in your face. And
nice.
One
quote from the movie I want to read before we finish up, and it's by Martin Luther King, and it was mentioned in the text of the movie. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That's the essence of the message of the movie.
And that's the essence of Christianity.
Yeah.
Let's go to Don. Don, are you the Don that I was just talking about?
Roll Tide.
That's him. But Don, thanks for calling.
Well, Don.
Thanks for calling, and thanks for being such a loyal listener. When did you play at Alabama?
I played. In fact, I was a recruit the year Joe Namath was the quarterback, and Ken Stabler was the quarterback my freshman year.
Oh wow!
Tony Nathan came to Tuscaloosa about 2 years after I left.
Is that right? You were just ahead of him. Have you seen the movie? Do you plan on seeing it if you haven't?
You bet. We saw it the first weekend, and everybody that's seen it has loved it. And people in the audience are crying and clapping their hands. And it's really good. It's well done.
Now, Don, when you played for Bear Bryant, how many black players were on the team?
When I got there, there were zero black players on the team, and Coach Bryant had been talking about integrating the team, and I've got very dark skin. I worked in construction all summer before I went to for practice, and about a month or two into my practice, one of the student coaches came up to me and said, "Hey, Don, I don't know if I've treated you any different than anybody else in the last couple of months, but says, you know, I don't think I have, and if I have, I just want to apologize. I know Coach Bryant was talking about integrating the squad, and you're so daggum dark, I thought you were the first one to come on."
Man, you must have some great memories from your time at Alabama.
Oh, listen, that was an education just being – in fact, that's what I told him my fourth year, I knew I had to have a fifth year, and I wasn't able to finish my BS, my bachelor's degree in 4 years. So, but I also knew that he didn't owe me a fifth year, and I really didn't play much. I sat on the bench and ran the scout team's defense against first team offense, and basically I got an appointment to see him, and I didn't know you could do that. I didn't want an appointment to see him the last of the 4 years I played there. Those meetings usually didn't go very well.
Right.
So, but I got an appointment to see him. And in fact, this, what I'm telling you right now was used as CBS Sports Spectacular tribute to his life the week after he died. My wife told me, I told her, I said, gee, you'd think you'd have to be Joe Namath or somebody for Coach Bryant to do something for you. And she looked at me and said, well, why don't you call somebody and tell him what he did for you? And I hit my head, you know, I said, golly, you know, that's a good idea. I called the local CBS sports anchor, a guy by the name of Dale Hansen, who is still there today.
Yeah.
This was back in 1983. And I told him this story. He said, Mr. Gossett, if you'll give us an exclusive on this story, I will have New York give you a call in 15 minutes, and they'll want to hear this. Sure enough, 15 minutes later, New York calls and says, tell me that story you told Dale Hansen. And I told him the story. He says, if you'll give us an exclusive, we'll use this Saturday afternoon sports spectacular. Lindsey Nelson was a famous sports announcer.
Oh, yeah.
He was a good friend of Coach Bryant's. And he says he'll start off by telling what the relationship Coach Bryant had with him. And then he switched over to Babe Parilli and John David Crow, who was his Heisman Trophy winner at Texas A&M, and Gene Stallings, who later became the head coach there.
Yeah.
And they all told about what Coach Bryant had done for them. And then they cut to Richard Todd, who was the quarterback for the Jets at the time. I think the same.
Don, I'm sorry, but I've got 1 minute left. So, and then they got to you, right?
It'll be quick. Basically, I said, you know, I know you guys don't owe me a fifth year. I appreciate you letting me hang around. He says, Don, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. You're just an important part of this team as anybody else. You go get your books, fees, tuition paid for. See my secretary, get phone number. Anybody wants you to pay a dime this fifth year, we'll take care of it. And if you want to pay me back, you just go out and watch, make something out of yourself.
Amen.
Gotta love that.
Thank you, Don. God bless you.
It's great.
That's a goosebump story there, Don. I got goosebumps on my arms.
So do I. Woodlawn, see it. Thank you, Nostradamus.
Thank you.
Mary Lee, once again, your phone number.
321-251-4777.
That's Vacation Travel Planners. You will not get a better price on your vacation anywhere
not
in this
at all.
Town. Mary Lee's the girl to talk to.
Yeah, and you're dealing with a lovely lady to boot. I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better than that.
Makes you wonder how in the world Joseph ever got
here. Makes you wonder why she's hanging out with us.
Better. All right, have a great weekend, folks.
Enjoy, everybody.
It ain't all bad. It's good.
Night, everybody. It's getting better.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont.